The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Welcome to the Bill Gates Conspiracy Hour here on Basically a Sports Show.
Yeah.
Won't melt.
It won't melt.
Snow don't melt. That means it's a Bill Gates microchip going in your brain hole. Guarantee
right.
It.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I was with them all the way until the melting snow, and I thought, nah, I just can't get on board with this. The rest, I'm totally buying into the microchip and my vaccine when I get it, so they can track me. Because
where do we hide the weather machine exactly?
Well, that's in Bill Gates' secret underground Microsoft or Windows cave, I guess.
Again, the guy that made the Zune, we're thinking that he's the one that's controlling the weather, not somebody still at Apple.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, the
WeatherNet from Star Trek. Well, let's get Mike in here.
Hey, there's Mike.
We talking about Bill Gates controlling the weather?
He controls everything, Mike. Come on now.
Jet fuel can't melt fake snow, Mike. That's
Lordy.
Of course means that because of that, that means that 9/11 had to be an inside job and George Soros was behind it.
Right. Wait a minute. Was George Soros behind it or is it Bill Gates? I just want to make sure.
No. It's a very complicated thing. Okay, so the jet fuel won't melt the snow, which absolutely proves that the buildings couldn't have fallen unless there were explosives involved. And George Soros supplied the explosives for Bill Gates, and that's it.
For the people that are lost, the newest conspiracy theory in town are the folks in Texas that think that this giant winter storm that hit them was somehow orchestrated by Bill Gates dropping fake snow on them, and they've tried to melt it with your regular pocket lighter or a hair dryer, a big snowball. And because it didn't melt within the first 3 seconds of them doing this, clearly
the
snowball got a burn mark on it. It couldn't be the chemical in the lighter that's catching on fire. It's just the snow's not melting.
The scientific term for the black stuff is soot.
This sounds like people who have never actually dealt with snow before in any.
This is an old thing. They were doing this years ago with the snow. I forget what the reasoning was back then, but I remember seeing it like going, look, the snow is fake, it won't melt. I'm like, oh my God. But no, this has been around for a while. I looked up a clip today. There was one on YouTube that was 7 years old of them doing this with the snow. So it's just a whole thing.
Batshit loons have been around for forever. I mean, as old as man.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, they all have cameras and the internet. So now we just
Could you imagine if Nostradamus had a YouTube channel?
Oh my God!
if Nostradamus really did have the future vision, he would have killed himself after the first time he experienced it. I've seen enough. I'm out.
This train isn't going anywhere good. Bye, and then just leaves.
Well, that's why the Aztecs picked 2012 because they're like, really, that's the best it's gonna get. That's
like it's peaking.
Anything further than that is not worth being around for.
Oh, God. The funny thing about Nostradamus, actually, is that he actually gets kind of a bad rep because he actually was a notable physician.
Nostradamus, M.D.
He actually was a physician who...
That's a TV show. Come on.
Who developed countermeasures to try to deal with the bubonic plague.
Just to clarify,
I predicted the future in his meantime.
So the term physician or doctor at that time essentially meant if you like let a lizard bite somebody, that was your doctor now because you've acknowledged that, like, oh, we'll
not, like, granted, but no, like, he actually did go to the equivalent of, like, what would pass as medical school. He was a court doctor, you know, he was a doctor in the court of the King of France. Like, so my point is that this guy who, you know, had some minor medical accomplishments to his name. The only time anyone remembers him is like that one time he huffed glue and wrote some crazy shit down.
Well, that tends to be what happens with stuff like that.
So it's kind of like to steal a bit from a friend of mine. Like, you look back at history, right? Like we're talking like early Egyptian history. One of the first, you know, rulers in ancient Egypt, a guy by the name of King Scorpion. And now, anytime anyone thinks of this historic leader, they think of Dwayne the Rock Johnson, and it's like that's got to be a trip.
Do they think of Dwayne the Rock Johnson or CGI Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
I mean, that's the better one. So,
well, I got to know. First off, my question with that is: how have we gone all these years from ancient Egypt up until today without a wrestler being named King Scorpion? And I don't mean in a movie; I mean in real life.
Why like, has there not been a wrestler named King Scorpion? You know, if there is one, he's probably Mexican and he's probably got a mask.
Well, I mean, there's probably been one somewhere.
Send your hate mail to you. No, go ahead, Zach.
In the Indies, I'm sure there was one named, you know, King Scorpion. Like probably right after that came out, the Scorpion King movie. There's probably some oaf who was like, you've heard of the Scorpion King. Nah, come see me, King Scorpion, at the Murfreesboro High School. Yeah.
Well, when it comes to combat fighters and the name Scorpion, maybe Mortal Kombat ruined that for everybody.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the trailer for that?
I couldn't believe that they were making it, because, like, didn't we all put this embarrassment behind us?
No, Mike, this looks like actual Mortal Kombat.
Oh, it does. Okay.
We got some violent deaths. We got some we learned the origin story of how Jax gets metal arms.
Oh, well, I've always been wondering this. So,
Sub-Zero rips them off, of course, when they're frozen solid.
I
mean, it's pretty metal.
Scorpion was the one that shot the ropes or whatever with the
get, like, over here.
There was Scorpion, there was Sub-Zero, and then there was like one other guy, but they were
Wu
like
Kang, Shang Tsung.
No, I'm talking about all the guys who are like pallet swaps of each other, like all the ninjas.
Well, there's Reptile is the green one.
Yes.
Right. And then there's they made a red one at some point too.
I think it was the red one.
Yeah.
But
I didn't stay caught up on Mortal Kombat because I only knew of Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Fine. You're fine.
You fucking Kashnar.
To me, the problem is there was too much story in that trailer, and I'm sure they're saving all the juicy action bits. But, like, that was kind of one of the things I liked about the first movie from 95 or whatever it was. It was just, let's not let a story get in the way of a good action movie here. And
The trailer did have Sub-Zero stabbing Scorpion with a blood icicle.
I mean, it was cool, but it was sort of telling the audience, like, hey, don't you worry, there's going to be lots of crazy fighting shit here. But
I'm going to a Mortal Kombat movie, I'm not going for the storytelling experience.
Right. If they spend go ahead.
Do we expect this to be an Oscar-nominated film or anything? I mean, we're going to get what we get with it, right?
I mean, it'd be hilarious if we all come out of this movie going, you know what, that was like a really well-written movie. Like,
that guy that played Scorpion should be up for an Oscar.
For most people, if the theaters are open by then, it'll be the best movie they've seen in theaters in 2 years. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm just imagining, like, you know, Scorpion's death monologue really, really touched. You know, that was really touching. That was some award-worthy stuff right there.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least Raiden is not white in this version. You know,
they did get Asian actors.
The great thing about Raiden in the old movies is that there were two old Mortal Kombat movies and they got two different white guys to play him. Like you would have thought after Christopher Lambert didn't come back for the sequel, they're like, okay, like we're going to change his appearance so like we can course correct on this. Nope, they just got another white guy.
Yeah. Christopher Lambert's career had been long over by then. Go ahead, Zach.
This Mortal Kombat will come out in theaters and HBO, day and date, HBO Max, on April 16th. So just next a month.
I mean, theaters are already open here because this is Florida and we're a death cult.
Come on, it's not that bad here.
I know, but no, but theaters are open. So
are they? I won't. It'll probably be, I don't know. I'll probably 70 the next time I go to a theater. Cause
I was actually in one yesterday. I went and saw Fellowship of the Ring. They're bringing like AMC's bring back all these like old popular movies to try to get people in.
Yeah.
No. I remember. Cause Warner Brothers announced that like a week or not a week, but like a month ago where it was like, come see it in HD 4K. And it's like, oh, I'd love to. In a theater near me, you know, in all the ones that are closed. It's like, what are you doing, Warner Brothers? Like, wait a minute.
I mean, all it did was make me sad for Game of Thrones because I was like, oh, this is what trying looks like in fantasy. But like, I won't get into that. I promise.
So this Mortal Kombat movie, I know none of the cast. Some of them have Wikipedia pages, but that's fine.
You don't know them now, but you will after it's over, believe me.
This is the premise according to Wikipedia. A washed-up mixed martial arts fighter named Cole Young is
beats the shit out of an Oklahoma football player. Sorry, I had to bring that up.
Oh my god, that was pretty funny and terrible. Right. He's unaware of his hidden lineage or why he is being hunted down by Sub-Zero of the Lin Cool Clan.
Wait a minute, who is Cole Young? Who is this person?
He is Cole Young.
He's the main character.
Concerned for the safety of his family, he seeks out a clique of fighters that were chosen to defend the Earth Realm in a high-stakes battle against the forces of the Outworld.
I'm in.
They just made up a protagonist. Like, well, come on. Yeah,
no. The trailer is – he literally just has like a birthmark that looks like the Mortal Kombat dragon. And then he's like, oh, I just thought it was a birthmark. And they're like, no, that is a symbol. You are.
I just thought I just thought this was a normal birthmark. It looks, you know, just like a dragon. That's like normal, right?
A logo of a video game franchise. here's what I think is going to happen. I just figured it out now that I've heard the description. So this Cole Young guy, they're going to go through this whole story of him, meeting all these famous faces from the franchise that we know, certainly not the actors and actresses. We certainly don't know any of them. But the characters are like, oh, Sub-Zero, oh, yeah, Liu Kang and all this stuff. But then at the end, what's going to happen is they'll be like, we can't get through this. We need you, Cole. And he'll be like, I don't know what to do. And somebody's going to hand him a Super Nintendo controller, and he's going to play the controller. He's going to like control the fighter. Like, you're moving me, Cole. I don't know how you're doing this. Press down toward B and see what happens. I just did a fireball move. This is going to be that. An embarrassing.
Look, he's going to fucking. Look, he's going to fucking fail if he's got a Super Nintendo. Like, come on. You got to get a Genesis pad up in there.
Man,
you know what, though?
The peak of Mortal Kombat for me was the N64 version, but that's.
Wouldn't it be like 25%, at least 25% better if that's actually what happened in the movie?
Oh yeah,
I mean, that would crack me up. I'd be like, this is the greatest thing ever.
So if you remember not many years ago, but at least 10, 15 years ago, there was a movie that I think it was Doom. They made a Doom movie with The Rock.
They did make a Doom movie with The Rock.
And towards the end of the movie, there's a big scene where The Rock is it's in first person to where it's like you see.
It's like you're playing the game. You're playing. Right. Yeah.
There's a solid like 3 minutes where he's holding a chainsaw on a BFG or something and just moaning. But it's like you're watching a video game. It's like it's like a Twitch stream. And to me, that moment was the most memorable and most original part of that movie. I remember nothing else. I remember no other story or action or lines or anything. I remember The Rock being like put in first person mode because it's like this is just what this should have been for 90 minutes. I shouldn't have been dealt with the bullshit.
There was
we should have just been from The Rock's perspective from like the start. Yeah. Right.
There was a some sort of indie movie that was exactly like that. It was the most ridiculous thing because it came up on like a YouTube like pre-roll ad for me a bunch. Oh my god. You know what?
They should remake GoldenEye from the first person perspective. Come on. Let's do that.
I don't know where we're headed with this, but more.
Well, go ahead, Zach. I didn't mean to.
No, I'm done.
They gave Sub-Zero a name in this movie. That's amazing.
Like an actual name besides
Sub-Zero? According to Wikipedia page for this movie, Joe Taslim as Bai Han / Sub-Zero.
Oh, I can't say I'm a fan of that.
And he will square off against Hanzo Hasashi, who is Scorpion.
Because that's what I was always wondering playing Mortal Kombat. It's like, you know, I wonder what Sub-Zero's real name is.
So it wasn't just me then. You also wondered that.
This was pressing stuff.
I mean, when it comes to Mortal Kombat lineups, you're missing some key ones, but they've got Sonya Blade, Kano, Raiden, Jax,
Johnny Cage, Duke I'm Kane. Sure.
No Johnny Cage.
No Johnny Cage. No, no Johnny Cage. That's the one
not according to this cast list. There's no Johnny Cage.
Okay, then maybe Cole will put on the sunglasses at the very end.
And he'll start an acting career.
Knew who my father was, and then he'll be like, oh,
"Yeah, it's gonna be one of those deals."
Oh my god! My father was
Steve Cage. Turns out that I'm really, you know, Cole Johnny
Cage. Yeah.
I take my father's name and his sunglasses, and I kill Shang Tsung.
My father left me his sunglasses.
Now, I mean, there's a case where, like, these people could show up, because not on the cast list, but in the trailer was a Goro. So.
Yeah. And it's not the charming, like, multi-puppet armed goofy thing.
It looks like – I'm looking through the pictures now. It looks like some CGI and nonsense.
They had, like, a mural with Baraka on it. But no Baraka in the movie, as far as I saw.
Well, so in the first one, there was some premise, at least, of a tournament. They gave up on the tournament premise pretty much immediately, like within probably a match or two. They're just like, fuck it. Just everyone's fighting. No one knows why they're fighting here and there. Like, how did Johnny Cage and Scorpion end up in hell for some reason? But then Johnny Cage kills Scorpion. But how did he get out of hell? And he just moves on. Like, he just shows up in a forest later or something. It's
finds the elevator. Yeah.
Right.
He uses Scorpion's little shooter string things and, like, climbs his way out.
I think there's just Zach said, this is an escalator or something convenient that's just right there. But
the escalator to get out of hell. It's just right here.
But I hope they.
That's a GTOV entry.
They got to bring back the dance music from the first one. They got to.
Well, again. If you watch the trailer, there is a orchestrated version of it in the background.
No,
I say this
as someone who loves the Mortal Kombat games. That song does not deserve to have an orchestral cover. The techno music cover from the first movie was perfect. That is exactly what it should be.
Like, as a 9-10 year old kid, when that movie came out, like, in that fucking banging ass jam, it was like, when that hit, it was like, holy fuck. You might as well have just, like, had me just quaff like an entire surge right then and there. I was ready to go run 100 miles an hour, start kicking and fighting and breaking shit, because it's like the spirit of Mortal Kombat is coursing through me with this sweet 90s beat.
Thing at the gong was pretty badass.
I'm looking through screenshots of this movie. They actually have a picture of some old temple carvings, and someone has written Mortal Kombat on the wall of some ancient temple. That's amazing. That is just yes.
Speaking of movies, did you guys see this? Pointless, this Jared Leto business, the Joker stuff.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, it's gross to me.
Yeah.
It's a little gross. Enough of it. No more.
I didn't see what happened, but I saw you tweeted a thing today that I totally agreed with. He was what was the comparison? No, there was something else. You paired it with something.
He's the Russell Wilson of Hollywood, Jared Leto.
Yes. There you go. Yeah.
It's not even the thing about Jared Leto that's my problem. It's just like we've done the Joker, and now you get these like promotional shots like this, where it's like, for what reason in the world would we put a crown of thorns on the Joker?
Yeah, it's the Joker.
Has anyone ever wanted the Joker as a Jesus allegory? Like
Jared Leto, probably. So basically, what is it? Zach, the director, Zack Snyder, is re-editing and re-releasing Justice League. You won't talk about a piece of shit movie. Justice League is fucking terrible. He left the production halfway through because I think his daughter killed herself, something like that.
Yeah, his daughter died, and then Joss Whedon came in, and Zack Snyder famously has never seen the original version of it. He had like a working cut. Like, it wasn't completed because there still had to be a lot of storyboarding and CGI and stuff that they had to go back and pay $130 million extra dollars to reshoot and put into this movie.
Wonder why it didn't make a profit.
you have all that stuff, and it's like a 4-hour cut, but Warner Brothers was very strict about getting it down to 2 hours. So this is like a personal passion project for him to complete. And I just, it's a creative dead end. Like, there's nothing going on here other than like,
well, yeah, because
fewer dreams of Zack Snyder that aren't going to go anywhere and never were in the first place.
It's not like, Ben Affleck is pretty much done as Batman. He's not coming back. I'm pretty sure they've moved on from Cavill as Superman. This whole DC Extended Universe is basically dead, and it kind of just seems like they're just going forward with the bits that worked, like Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and just kind of ignoring the rest.
Well, we discussed how the bubble is kind of popping. Fine. Mm-hmm. It's not really even popping. It's just kind of slowly deflating over a period of years. Besides, I think the pandemic has really put the knife in the heart of even Marvel movies. I think people will still go and see them for sure. There's still an audience for that. But the tentpole, like mega billions of money they're expecting to make with these, the returns are going to dwindle, and I think they'll finally move on or at least repackage them. Like the Batman movie is one that, DC's really got their hopes on. I think Joker actually gave them a lot of pause to sort of say, like, we could really reimagine.
Because Joker is just the standalone thing. It's not even connected to anything. And actually, on like a per dollar basis, Joker made Warner Brothers as much as Infinity Wars made Disney. So yeah,
most profitable R-rated film ever made, I think.
And so if you're it's not connected to anything. It doesn't try to connect to anything. So if you're Warner Brothers, you look at that and you go, like, we don't need this cinematic universe bullshit. Like, we can just, it's like, we'll make a Joker movie, we'll make a Batman movie, we'll just make these movies and we'll see what happens.
In a recent interview, the head of WB was basically saying that, like, we're going to just make like 3 Batman at once, and they're going to be multiverse, and they're not going to be connected to each other, but you're just going to follow along whatever story you want to follow, and this is what we're doing. I don't know if the whole bubble and the whole superhero movie industry is failing, because I think you look at – I would have thought that WandaVision of all things would be kind of like – yeah, people would like it, and it would be kind of – but like the fervor that's come over that show makes me think that Marvel's nowhere near
– I finally got caught up on WandaVision, and holy shit is that
– It's so surprisingly like engaging and
yeah,
good. That I didn't think they could do.
I'm waiting, give us the Office parody. That's what you want to do.
But when it comes to DC, like – Even when it's like, oh, we like Wonder Woman works. And then they make the second one and it's like kind of a mess. There's a little too much going on. It doesn't really hit. Aquaman is fun, but we also realize that Aquaman's fun because it's ridiculous. But they're also still trying to do this Flash movie over here, but they're still going to do the serious Batman. Like, Warner Brothers needs to kind of like tap the brakes a little bit, as we've said for like, I don't know, 10 years, and really evaluate what they're going to do. If they do want to do the scattershot approach, fine. But like, is a little messy as it currently stands.
The thing with Wonder Woman, this is going to be Mike's very brief Wonder Woman 84 review, is that Wonder Woman is what happens when you give someone like complete creative control. Because like, as far as I understand it, like Patty Jenkins got a lot of praise for directing the first Wonder Woman, but she didn't write it. Like, it was written by someone else. She was the director. This is apparently an entire like Patty Jenkins like production, and like you can tell it's like one person's unfiltered vision, and it was not reined in by people. So yeah. Like just as a let it be yet another lesson, to I guess Hollywood or just the film industry in general, that like films collaborative, and it rarely works out when you just give one person the reins, because, you know, people need to be told no. Exhibit A is the Star Wars prequels. So if more people had told George Lucas no, things might have been better. But,
well, you know, George Lucas may have been a good director. He might have been a lot of – but you – just because you're a good director does not make you a good writer. It just like if you're a good shortstop doesn't mean you're going to be a great starting pitcher. It's kind of the same idea.
George Lucas, as it turned out, was not a good writer or director. He is a good idea person.
The original Star Wars itself is famous for being saved by other people in the edit process.
Yeah.
Whether it was like Coppola looked over it, Spielberg looked over it, and like they rearranged half the movie to make it.
Brian De Palma actually wrote the opening crawl because he was like enraged by how stupid Lucas's original version was.
But if you ever, and I'm then sure we've all seen.
Lucas didn't write or direct the Empire. Lucas didn't write or direct
Jedi.
But somehow he thought, I'm the one that should lay the groundwork for all this and the prequels. And it's like, all right. Okay,
Jedi. I don't like sand.
If you've ever seen, and I'm sure most Star Wars fans have seen the Saved in the Edit thing that's on YouTube, and you watch what he wanted to do compared to what happened, and you go, wow, this would have been it probably would have gone down as one of the worst movies in history if they let him do what he wanted to do with it. It would have been just a joke.
But, you know, another good example to kind of come back to superheroes, you know, you look at the original Batman film series. So they give it to Tim Burton, right, in 89. And Burton, you know, is a hot young director, but he's still a young director, so they're not going to give him complete control. And they give him the first Batman movie. And the first Batman movie, Batman 89 is a bit overrated, in my opinion, but it's still good. It's still a good movie.
You watch it.
I was excited because it was a Batman movie, but I got to say, I liked it, but I was disappointed, too, because it was still a little too campy for my taste.
You want to get nuts, Mike? Let's get nuts.
The point I'm kind of getting at is like, you know, it's got its flaws, but it is good. And then because it made so much money, they gave Burton like complete creative control over Batman Returns, and then Batman Returns was like a hot fart. So, you know,
that's a bit cruel.
It's not terrible, but it's.
I mean,
it's had, definitely it's I definitely unfiltered it. Burton. If you
no, watch, I of the pre Nolan Batmans, that is the one that I rewatch the least.
I mean, even Batman and Robin is worth a watch for the chuckles.
But... Wait a minute. There's no world I want to live in where I would, where anyone, any given human, would rather watch Batman and Robin or Batman Forever over Batman Returns.
No, that's my rankings, Andy. You can live with those.
Wait a minute. Joel Schumacher's dog shit Batman movie. His two abysmal catastrophes.
I'm saying from a
rewatches and gags and one-liners.
From a rewatchability standpoint, I would much rather rewatch and like laugh at how bad Batman and Robin is than sit through.
Wait, are you telling?
I'm gonna play this city like the harp from hell.
Are you saying, Andy, that you do not want to see Batman go? It's the car. Chicks dig the car.
Yeah. Which one is the one with Val Kilmer?
Batman Forever.
Forever.
Okay, so Batman and Robin is the George Clooney one.
Yeah.
That's the one that killed the franchise for 10 years. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's rewatched. The one where George Clooney will give you your money back if you present him a ticket stub.
He's so ashamed of it, yes.
Like, Batman, I remember, like, the Batman Forever stuff. So, basically, after the sequel, after Batman Returns, Burton was – they said he was getting too dark with it. He was getting too weird, which is true because he's Tim Burton. He did lose – I admit, he completely lost control of making a Batman movie and wanted to make a Tim Burton movie. And he has forever since, give or take a big fish, made the same movie over and over again for the rest of his career. But Batman Forever, they wanted to be like, take it back to like the 60s Batman. Take it back to like, funny, stupid – Bat has a giant bomb and holy this Batman, like they wanted to get that audience to come see it at the same time. at the same time, they wanted to have like a lot of familiar stuff for like new for kids. So you made a kids movie with a lot of adult references that kids wouldn't understand. And essentially, it was. And it, to be fair, it was the times. Like that was the time when like the Brady Bunch movies were coming out, and the Addams Family movies were around, and it was kind of this resurgence, everything old is new again kind of thing.
It was kind of a high point of 60s nostalgia. I guess.
It was.
You know what? I was a kid when the Adam West, Burt Ward Batman was on, and I also read the comics. And even as a kid, I thought this is stupid. I mean, I had no desire for that to come back. And I was writing the Target demo for it. I'm like, no, give me Batman. I don't want to see this nonsense.
But it's self-aware, though. That Batman was completely self-aware of what it was, and it knew it was dumb. Like, it embraced how dumb it was. Like, the whole, like, shark repellent spray.
And, yeah.
You know, them going through business records, like, who owns this plot of land, or who owns this dock? It's licensed out to a Mr. Penguin. Who would it be? Penguin. And it's stuff like that, to where it's just campy as hell. But you can't have it both ways. And they wanted to have it many ways. And
I will see, the thing is, I fully admit Batman Forever was dumb, but it was the first Batman movie. Well, that's not technically true, because I was actually with my parents when we saw the Batman 89 in a drive-thru, but I was two and I barely remember any of it. But like
you're a two-year-old.
Oh yeah. No, I honestly have vague memories of seeing the Joker and Batman on the screen, and then the rest of my memories of that night are annoying my sister, and I had strawberry popcorn. So
did you find yourself loving
strawberry
Prince?
Popcorn?
Yes, strawberry candied popcorn.
Tom Brady would not approve, Mike.
No, he would not. But Batman Forever was the first Batman like I ever actually saw, you know, properly in theaters. So like I have this like weird like nostalgia. It's like I know it's bad, like, but like I don't know. The best I could say about it is that, you know, the writing is awful, but Val Kilmer is decent as like Batman / Bruce Wayne.
He's Val Kilmer in the peak of his powers. Like he's right there. Yeah. There's pink strawberry popcorn, by the way.
There you go. That's what I was munching down on.
Ugh.
Yeah, no thanks.
Jesus Christ.
Like, what? That was Val Kilmer with like The Saint and Heat. And just kicking ass. Everything he touched at that time turned to gold. So you know, he wasn't a bad Batman or Bruce Wayne, but he almost took it too seriously. And compared to like Jim Carrey, who just chewed up everything he was fucking given, and then Tommy Lee Jones taking a paycheck, and it was just too much. Too much.
The worst thing about Batman Forever is that we lost out on Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face.
I don't know. I don't like that cross-pollination shit. Like when there was a couple characters from the first Batman from 89 and the Batman Returns that were in Batman and Robin, Commissioner Gordon and Alfred. And I was like, I was embarrassed for them. Like, why the fuck are they in this? Like, this is suck. I don't want them associated with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad they're getting paid, yeah. But
I'll agree with Chaos Blast in the comments that, one of the one thing I really dislike about Batman Forever, while I enjoy the kind of off-hinged performances of Jim Carrey and of Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Carrey's Riddler is not the Riddler. He's Jim Carrey almost Joker. And then Two-Face is just not.
Well someone
he's a crazy person for sure, but he isn't Two-Face Harvey Dent.
Aaron Eckhart was kind of, I thought, nailed at least the Harvey Dent part of it in The Dark Knight. Like, he didn't get to be Two-Face long enough to really, you know, say like, oh, he was a good Two-Face. But, you know, I thought he was a good Harvey Dent.
Okay. I think he showed potential to be a good Two-Face, just we never got to see it.
Well, it was like really weird. Because I remember reading spoilers when The Dark Knight was about to be released that said that like they were going to hold Two-Face's like Harvey Dent becoming Two-Face all the way to the end of the movie, and it would like set up the next one where it was like that Two-Face is going to be the villain of the next one, but obviously they did not do that.
It is better. I love The Dark Knight. It is in my top 3 favorite movies ever. But that is the one I wish the movie would end after they get the Joker.
And yeah.
I wish the Harvey Dent stuff was saved for the next one.
It
feels like tacked on at the end.
But I will say that in terms of superhero movies, and I say this as a Marvel fan, is that I still think that Nolan's Batman trilogy is probably the best like single superhero series of movies ever made. Like you really don't beat them, as far as I'm concerned. Which pains me.
If you hadn't have killed Harvey Dent in the sequel, you wouldn't have gotten Bane in the third.
No. I was born in the darkness. You merely adopted it.
See, here's the thing. I kind of.
You in charge, Mike?
What
has this city done for you? What have you done for your city?
I kind of love though The Dark Knight Rises Bane. Like it's dumb, but I like
it. What do you like first, your mind or your body?
I also love every time I watch The Dark Knight Rises of like almost about fail going, oh yeah, Littlefinger's in this movie.
Oh yeah, right at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a little cameo. But so like the watching Dark Knight, I've watched them all again fairly recently within the last few years, and Batman Begins is the one I feel like has the most rewatch value just because I like it that it's focused on Bruce Wayne and Batman. The sequel is amazing. Like Dark Knight in theater is one of the best in theater experiences I've ever had. But at the same time, I just can't. Every time I walk out of the theater, I'm just like, I'm just talking like this, and everywhere I go, this is how I talk.
Where the drug is going?
Does anyone have a throat drop?
I'm swear to me,
but
Harvey. No, this now we're in Aquaman's.
God, Batman. So the Dark Knight is the Dark Knight is really is. I could watch The Dark Knight over and over again, if only because like Heath Ledger as the Joker is just so captivating, like. Not to stand for Heath Ledger as the Joker, but might be my favorite Joker.
Careful now. You're gonna get a bunch of like incels on our listener.
No. The incel is all like Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. So we should.
Oh man, come on. There's no comparison. Heath Ledger and everybody else. It's that simple.
I mean, Joaquin Phoenix's like, Joker was good. I mean. I haven't seen it yet.
No, but I'm it's sorry, good. But that's just it, this is like trying to convince me that Brady's better than Montana. I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to do it.
Joaquin Phoenix did a completely kind of different thing with it, but he was a good Joker. Going back to what Stardust down this whole thing, like I know he probably wouldn't do it because they really like the whole Joker is self-contained thing, but like if you're going to. I'd rather watch a Batman movie with Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker over Jared Leto as the Joker because, like, at least one of them isn't stupid.
Yeah, I mean, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker was a movie that just happened to have the Joker be a thing in it.
It's really just exactly. Like one man's descent into madness. Right. It just happens to be the Joker.
You could have taken the Joker trademark copyright Gotham City shit out of it completely, and it would have been an excellent. It still would have been an amazing movie.
I will.
You know what? That was my take after seeing it. Is that I almost would have liked this movie better,
right?
If I didn't have to deal with
completely
Gotham
agree,
or Thomas yeah, but, Wayne or
yeah. all the Wayne shit. I didn't need any of it.
I will say though, like, and maybe this kind of goes to further your point is that like it was the first movie since I think. The Dark Knight, at least, to me, that made Gotham City actually feel like a real city. Like,
yeah, because they made it 1970s New York.
Yeah, well, basically, but like
they made it Taxi Driver.
That's basically what it is. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's a good movie. Basically, I guess what I'm just trying to say is, just give me anybody playing the Joker except Jared Leto, please, because it's awful.
To me, it goes Heath Ledger, Mark Hamill. You know, we stand okay. for the animated
series. Okay.
Yeah, and then Nicholson and you know everybody else.
I didn't even realize Mark Hamill did the animated Joker until I was in my 20s.
Hello, it,
It freaking floored me to learn that Luke Skywalker was also the Joker.
It's
craziness.
It's also really great if you listen to interviews of him talking about it, because he would, driving to the recording studio to record his lines, he would be practicing his lines in the car, and he was saying people would like be giving him weird looks, like stuck in traffic on the highway, because it's just this one guy laughing maniacally in his car with like
what's wrong with Mark Hamill?
Has Mark Hamill gone crazy?
I knew it was when he couldn't get any roles into Star Wars. I knew it wasn't going to go well.
Did you take my parking spot? It's like, oh my God, Mark, what the hell is wrong with you? Just park there. Sorry, I'm.
Yeah. Anyway, my point is simply that Heath Ledger is the gold standard, and that's it. And yeah, anything else, as good as it is going to fall short. It's that simple. That's the way I feel.
You should watch the new Joker movie, Greg.
It is good. It is good.
Yeah, don't worry about like we said, remove the other shit from the equation. Just look at it as a movie, and I think
Look about it as a movie as one guy going crazy. It just so happens that the guy going crazy is a clown man.
The worst parts about that movie are the DC Universe tie-in.
Here's the thing. I'm about to say something that is going to make Zach and Andy upset. The single thing I would have changed in the Joker movie would be to actually throw in another DC reference, and that is. Okay. So at the end, right when he's in the insane asylum,
spoiler for Greg, he hasn't seen it.
I don't care. Go ahead.
It's the Joker. He ends up in Arkham. That's like every Joker story.
We all know where he ends up, Zach.
Yeah, he gets out 2 weeks later because Arkham sucks. Paperwork error. Yeah, we just clerical error. We let the Joker go. I'm sure it's fine. I would have liked it. I would have been amused if they pulled back and the therapist who's like talking to him at the end was Harley Quinn. Like, just go all in. Just do it.
Yeah, that teases a sequel that they weren't going to make. But I see.
I would say what pisses me off the most about this movie, but. It's a spoiler. So
that would be a real spoiler, not.
But I feel like that. Greg, one of the big concerns with this Joker movie coming out was that there was a lot of tension about the Dark Knight. There was the shooter, the theater in Colorado. The guy shot up dressed as Joker, and plus the Joker in general has sort of become this like mascot of the incel and these weird like people who commit a lot of things. Yes. Yeah. And because this person, the character in the Joker movie, is essentially an 80s version of these guys without a computer and an inclination to violence, a lot of people were worried that it was going to be this, again, celebratory thing. And there were security at theaters and all this different stuff. But if you watch the movie through and you get to the final probably 15, 20 minutes, I personally feel like it was both horrifying and well-handled. In my opinion.
It was absolutely well handled. And again, I don't want to actually spoil it for Greg, but
it doesn't have the same impact if you talk about it.
So I don't want to get into details, but I will say that to everyone who was saying this glorifies these people and their predilection to violence, I was like, the end of the movie actually makes a completely different point, and it's actually a point that is probably worth making. So I thought it was fine.
It's on one of the streaming services, isn't it, right now?
HBO Max is on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's on somewhere else. Maybe not. I don't know. I'll check it out.
Or you could go buy a DVD if you're still one of those people.
Do they still make those?
They're in big buckets at Walmart. Like, I think you can get five of them for a buck.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, I mean, everybody's switching over to, Blu-ray is now the medium of record. We're getting more and more of the 4K and UHD releases.
Mm-hmm. I've got some Blu-ray stuff of things that of movies that I just want to have at all times. But
it's weird now because in the age of streaming, I rarely feel the need to buy a physical copy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Occasionally, there's something where it's like, this is big enough that I want to I'm waiting. I don't know if they will. I may just have to buy them individually. But like, I'm waiting for them to do a trilogy release of the last Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. And just have them physically on the shelf next to the rest of them that I have.
I'm waiting.
Any big Batman release, I'll probably buy.
I'm waiting for. Oh, sorry.
And then like my girlfriend has almost all the Marvel movies, even though it's like they're all on Disney Plus. But well, all of them except Sony Spider-Man movies and Universal's Hulk. But
I used to have Spider-Man 1 and 2 on DVD way back when DVD was the only thing you could do. I probably like gave them away to Goodwill or something, I'd imagine. I don't know.
I was just reading about this. There's a sort of a phenomenon happening to where the era of home movies has completely changed. So, you know, there used to be on, you know, older relatives' shelves, you'll probably have old VHS tapes with scribbled lettering of this was Graduation 1997 or whatever. And now, you know, it's almost like a treat to find those and kind of dust them off and look at all the weird fashion and all the weird things happening at the time. But then with now, it's almost like everything is so documented and on clouds, and there's almost no nostalgia really anymore.
Almost all these apps, like every day you get a notification of like, this is what you were doing 8 years ago. Do you want to look?
Yeah.
And it's like,
you don't see that anymore because like you said, Andy, you might see something like Graduation 1997, but now, you know, parents go in for their kids, you know, graduation, they film it on their smartphone, right?
I don't know about where you're at, Mike, but a lot of schools in Ohio, they bring in like a little production crew and they do the whole thing.
Oh yeah, and then you squeeze a few bucks out of parents, yeah.
But
the point is like, you know, those records now, you know, they're not on shelves. They're not something that you can just pull off and watch whatever. You know, it's on mom's phone, and it's probably buried under however many other, you know, cat pictures or minion memes, get to it.
But the overall point of the read, and if I find, I'll send it to you guys, was essentially that like we're living in the era of having it all. So like, while yeah, everything is documented on video in terms of HD and on cloud, there's almost been never a bigger time to be a record player owner, because like records are going nuts. Like that culture is completely rebuilt. Like cassette, there are people still making cassettes in far as like people buying them back. I'm sure that VHS will make a random comeback because people just kind of, there will be a niche for that. But it's going to be a strange time to where if you want it, we can make it and we can sell it to you. And the nostalgia will be completely, it won't be isolated to like, oh, this is a VHS, it's from the 90s. It's like, well, I got this printed, I filmed it on my iPhone, and then I sent it to this company, put it on a VHS and sent it back to me. And it's 2022 or whatever, you know. It's
I eagerly await that day because I've got an 80s cassette Walkman and I've got a VCR, so I'm eager for those to come back. Although I specifically bought the VCR because this was back before the, or it might have been around the time that The Force Awakens came. No, it was definitely before. It was definitely before The Force Awakens came out. And I was in a Goodwill store, and I saw like the original VHS unaltered Star Wars trilogy, like before the special editions. And I was like, oh, you know what? Like Lucas is never going to release these. So I bought it. And then the next day I went to a pawn shop and bought a VCR, and there you go.
I've still got two VCRs from way back when I used to, make high school highlight tapes and stuff back when you couldn't do anything but VHS, and I just held on to them. I think one of them still works actually, but I found some old highlight NFL highlight tapes. I'm like, well, I can take these and put them on DVD. I've never done it, but I do have the technology to do it if I want to. But yeah, I made some nice money converting VHS to like, either digitize it for people or make DVDs for them. And I mean, they would give me a nice piece of cash for like, can you take these three tapes and make them into DVDs? We'll give you $150. I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. Took me, you know, an hour. Here you go. So but it is weird that there is no, like, let's go back and look at this now, because you can like record something now and a week, it's like everything's, you just move on quickly. You know, nothing has any staying power, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, speaking of nothing having any staying power in the NFL, this would probably be as good enough time as any to discuss the trade of Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts that went down. I guess it hasn't technically gone down yet, has it? Because the league year
it's as official as it can be on February 22nd.
He is going to change his number. I know that because the wide receiver that has number 11 said, nope, it's not for sale. So that'll be interesting.
Always nice to know that he's getting off on the right foot with his wide receivers. Yeah. I'm sure great things are happening.
They said it was the receiver said it was, he was very cool about approaching me. He said, you know what, how attached are you to number 11? He said, I'm very attached. He's like, okay, that's cool. I was probably going to change anyway, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think he's going to go with number 7. I don't know why. I just have a feeling.
So the thing that I have with Carson Wentz being traded, I don't really care about the ins and outs of, what will Carson Wentz do for the Colts? Whatever. I just don't think Carson Wentz is all that great. But what I find interesting is with the trade of him, all 22 first-round quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round between 2009 and 2016 are all either out of the league or on a different team.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2009, you have Matthew Stafford drafted number 1 overall. So he's a little bit of the outlier in this list because he was on his team for quite some time before finally getting traded. But, you know, that's the one. Also in 2009, Mark Sanchez went number 5 overall. He's obviously not in the league.
The Sanchez. 2009,
number 17 overall, Josh Freeman.
Oh, God.
I think, did he play, wasn't he one of the Browns quarterbacks for 5 minutes? I don't remember. No, he was with the Bucks, wasn't he?
He was with the Bucks, and then he played a single game for the Vikings, and it was so bad he got drummed out of the league.
2010, number 1 overall was Sam Bradford, who is probably in an infirmary somewhere being stitched up together again.
He's more machine than man now.
Pretty much. Number 25 overall in 2010 was Tim Tebow, who just retired from baseball.
No!
Did he ever make it past double A?
No. I think he had like a sniff of triple A, but it didn't last.
I was looking forward to some Tebow dingers in the majors.
Yeah, not going to happen.
I think he was on the spring training roster a few times for the lols and the memes, I think, but that's his
good
gut. But anyway.
2011, number 1 overall was Cam Newton. Jake Locker was number 8 overall in 2011. Jake
Locker.
Tennessee Titans.
Former Washington Husky.
Yep.
He was one of the this is my problem with the Tennessee Titans. They drafted Jake Locker. I'm like, that's a good move. I like that. And I don't know why I can't quit that stupid team, but anyway.
He had a good half season. He did. Like, he was good for a minute and then wasn't.
Yeah.
2011's number 10 overall pick is now a Super Bowl champion, Blaine Gabbert.
Hey, man, credit to Blaine Gabbert for finding a career. You know, I mean, that guy, you know, he played for some terrible coaches, some bad franchises, and
he went from Jacksonville to Kaepernick's backup in San Francisco, then backed up the Cardinals, backed up the Titans, and now backed up the Buccaneers. So
Blaine Gabbert, the Mike Smith of the NFL, played exactly as much football in the Super Bowl as we did and has a ring. So good for him.
The thing I know most about Blaine Gabbert on the Bucks is when the Bucks played the Lions in the regular season and absolutely torched them. They pulled Brady at the half because it was so bad, and Blaine Gabbert came in and threw like 2 TDs, and the Lions were complaining about the Bucks running up the score. And it's like they pulled Brady after the half. Like, if you can't stop Blaine Gabbert, it's on you. That's on you guys. Like.
Yep.
After Blaine Gabbert, 2011, number 12 overall was Christian Ponder.
Oh, what happened to him?
Yeah.
He retired and married the ESPN broadcaster who, I forget her original name, and now she's Sam Ponder. She does NFL Countdown.
Oh, okay.
Really? Okay, that's just not just a crazy coincidence. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I forget what her name. She came up calling like sidelines for college football. I forget what her original last name was.
It wasn't Steele, was it?
No, that's Sage Steele you're thinking of.
Okay, yeah.
And then this one also isn't the team's fault, but Andrew Luck, number one overall in 2012. Let's see. Robert Griffin was drafted right after him, of course, and
he
was backing up at Baltimore at some point.
Both of them became broken people.
The Sam Pond,
RG3, Browns quarterback at one point.
It was Steele, right. By the way, Samantha Steele.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay, you're right. Ryan Tannehill, who's found greener pastures in Tennessee from his time in.
It's amazing what happens when you get away from Adam Gase.
Yeah. Another name for the Browns QB list, Brandon Whedon.
Jesus, what a trade. You know, with a litany of fucked up draft picks, that might be the most messed up one they did of that whole stretch.
The Brandon Whedon draft pick?
He was like 37. he's been in college for 19 years. Let's give him a shot.
Take us back to that draft, Greg. What were you thinking as the Cleveland Browns selected Brandon Whedon?
Like I always do with the Browns, I'm like, well, maybe.
Well, he's not young. He went to minor league baseball, so he knows how to be a pro. Yeah, you know that's.
I don't know. He was probably from Cleveland or something like. It can't hurt.
Does he know what it means to be a Cleveland Brown?
That I don't know. I don't think anybody knows what it means.
His brown remains unchanged.
I just want to point out that once again we're back on the Browns.
As always. Chris, if you're listening, you see what we do every week. Anyway, go ahead, Zach. Let's get off the Browns.
In 2013, number 16 overall was EJ Manuel, who's bounced around the Bills and out.
Yeah, he didn't. That's amazing. I mean, that guy, because if you remember, he was like starting and everything, and it was in the conversation. Yeah. All of a sudden, he's just gone. That's it.
Number 3 overall in 2014 was our favorite QB, Blake Bortles.
Of Bortles.
With the Rams, right? With your Rams, isn't he?
He was for a second. He was with the Jaguars, and then he was back up with the Rams 2 years ago, and then he was on the Broncos practice squad.
Oh, that's right.
This year, and then the Rams had to bring him in as an emergency backup in the playoffs.
Okay.
2014, again, we go back to the Browns. We keep running into them on this list. Number 22 overall.
Well, it is a list of bad quarterbacks, so.
Number 22 overall, number 2 on the field, number 1 in the Fans' Choice Football League, Johnny Manziel.
I can tell you what I thought with this one, Mike. I thought, what a wasted pick. I was never a fan of that guy.
Apparently Haslin picked him because a homeless man told him to.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Also in 2014, number 32 overall was Teddy Bridgewater, who's not bad, but has moved around.
Well, I'll just say real quick, I thought the Browns should have drafted instead of Manziel, but that's on record, either on this show or on the old football show. I don't remember, but I remember saying that.
Also, just want to point out, and I'm just putting it in the middle of Zach's list because it doesn't even deserve full discussion. The Fans' Choice Football League looks ridiculous. Back to the show.
Okay. Wait, Zach has muted himself.
Zachary, right,
well, he's ashamed.
Okay. Let's go back. let's go back to the Johnny Manziel talk. Greg, your favorite moment from Johnny Manziel's stint as a Cleveland Brown?
When he got released.
You weren't going to say the Swan?
Okay, I can pick up. I can pick up where he left off.
Okay.
But 2015, we had Jameis Winston, the Buccaneers, number one pick.
And, soon to be number one starting quarterback for the Saints.
Probably, yeah. And then,
if Drew Brees actually does retire.
And then there's Marcus Mariota, who was with the Titans, now with the Raiders, and probably will end up a Chicago Bear. Oh. And Zach is gone. That's fine. Fairly well, Zach.
Wait, are they talking? They're not talking like him as a starter for the Bears, are they?
Have you seen the QB situation?
Yeah, but come on, it's not. I mean, it's bad, but it ain't that bad.
It's going to be one of those. They'll bring him in, and it'll be a battle in camp or some bullshit. I don't know. But there's Marcus Mariota. And then 2016, you have Jared Goff of the Rams, Carson Wentz with the Eagles, and Paxton Lynch with the Broncos, and they're now all over the place and elsewhere. So,
wow.
Oh. Well, I mean.
What do you guys, with the Wentz deal, I think that I don't know. That second round pick, I thought might. I think a third round pick was fair for him. Anything more than that, I thought you were probably overpaying a little bit. Because I watched this guy play up close this year. I even texted you guys and said, this guy's not good at football.
Apparently, the Eagles wanted a, quote, Matthew Stafford type deal for him.
Okay.
And then, that was basically the Colts' response. And then, it came back.
The Colts basically said, here's the offer. And then they were like, no, we want more. And the Colts said, no, there's the offer still there. The Bears didn't even make an offer. Colts were just like, here's the offer, take it or leave it. And they said, how about, it's sort of like a negotiation where it's like, we'll give you 25%, 50, 25, 50, 25, 30.
40.
Right. Yeah. Finally, it's like 25, deal. You know?
And yeah.
Essentially, I think the Colts still kind of overpaid, but the second rounder into a first, I consider to be a little bit of an overpayment because it's probably achievable because that Colts team is pretty good. And if Wentz, because what is it? It's playing time and playoffs.
Basically. It's 70. If he takes 75% of the snaps, it's a first rounder. Or if he takes 70% of the snaps and makes the playoffs.
Right.
Well, let's not forget too that the last time Carson Wentz was good was under Frank Reich. So maybe I don't like making that connection because sometimes a guy's just good because he's good, and then he's not because he's not. But there is that if you're a Colts fan to look at it and go, well, you never know. I mean, you pull the Browns thing. Well, you never know. It could happen.
Well, that's kind of my take on it. Is that I think it's a bit of an overpay, but it is ultimately fine. And I think that. With this, I don't think Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, but I think that if there's any place where he can be good, it's with Frank Reich in Indy.
Well,
yeah, honestly, so
I'm kind of surprised that it was as I see you think it's an overpayment. I think it was, I was shocked at how little it actually was.
Oh, see, I would have only got a third rounder on him. That's it.
Well, just because of what the quarterback market had become this offseason, I just anticipated that, you know, some of the prices would go sky high. And so for this to be a third and a conditional second, maybe first, like, I mean, the conditions seem pretty easy to meet, right?
So what I was saying, Zach, when you dropped there for a moment was that, apparently the Eagles wanted a Matthew Stafford type deal.
And we all laughed heartily.
And then we all laughed, and then I said that was basically the Colts' response, and this is the deal that happened. So, yeah.
But that's what I mean, I think, because the thing that people keep leaning on is he almost was an MVP candidate one season until he got hurt. But, I mean, I agree that this is probably more what he's actually worth. Just these – It was funny because in that first season when he was tearing up the world, everyone was pointing and laughing at the Rams, saying that we picked the wrong QB.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, one of us, well, both of our QBs made it to the Super Bowl. Just one team, on one team he was actually playing, and on the other one he wasn't.
That would be a concern I'd have too. Is he's kind of fragile, and I don't mean that like from a character, or I just mean like he seems to get hurt pretty a lot.
Well, I think that's why the Colts might have been okay with that conditional pick, because you look at the conditions and it's like, okay, these seem pretty easy to meet. But if Carson Wentz's injury situation doesn't improve, then there's a good chance that it isn't met. So
yeah, that's still a second round pick, though. I mean, the second rounder is locked in, and I don't know. I the big thing I think the Colts are going to have to deal with is the transition from Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz. Phillip Rivers was, by all accounts, awesome for that locker room. The team really, really rallied around
him. Shoot,
yeah. I mean, he was charming. He was good. He was balling when he was an old man. But you have Carson Wentz, who's kind of. You know, there's a lot of issues with his character.
Kind of a bitch, I think is the term you're looking for.
He's confrontationally religious, I guess, and he's very...
They should have sent him to Houston. They would have loved him. Well, they got Deshaun Watson back.
But I guess he's just kind of a bag. I don't know. It's hard to say because there's plenty of players that have come out and been like, I would die on a hill for Carson Wentz. And it's like, well, would you really?
Would you though?
How high is that hill?
Right. So I don't know, but I got to tell you, from a Bears fan perspective, as soon as I saw that, I was like, "Woo!" I just wanted to glad that shit was over with. I would sooner go into 2021 with some meme ass quarterback like Mariota and Foles or some draft pick, whatever. I've seen this fucking movie before with Jay Cutler. You bring in an unlikable bag of a quarterback who's just a douche. And yeah, there's lots of talent and skill there. But, you know, an asshole by any other name is still an asshole.
Yeah, but Jay Cutler was fun.
I don't know if you're familiar, Andy, with Jay Cutler's how do we want to say, like, Bravo celebrity status currently?
I am a little bit.
I know the show.
Well, it's not even about the show. It's like now he, via like the people that are in this, you know, the Bravo reality show universe, maybe it was E. I don't know. I'm going to get corrected on this from my girlfriend at some point because she's into the stuff. But anyway, he's been dragged into like that D-level like controversy garbage of like, you texted my girl and now you're hanging out over here. And it's like, blowing up on TMZ sort of nonsense. And it's kind of funny how it's like, well, Jay Cutler.
I mean, Jay former NFC championship game participant, Jay Cutler.
I really hope we get there because he had a brief opportunity, I guess. They were going to make him, I can't remember which company, maybe Fox was going to make him a commentator doing color.
Yeah, and then he retired. Signed a deal to become a commentator and then unretired to play a season for Miami.
Right.
And just to prove once again that I know nothing about NFL football. I'm like, that's a good move for Miami. I like it.
I said that too. I'm right there with you. I thought it was going to work out.
Well, Cutler, you know, I was just more interested to see, because I mean, everything I've known about Jay Cutler as a person in terms of behind a microphone is just, again, everything you'd imagine. Just kind of a ambivalent, you know, this dour kind of shithead who's just like, oh, girl, fuck you, whatever.
See, that's what I was looking forward to. I wanted to see Jay Cutler in the booth, like, puffing on a cigarette as, you know, he nonchalantly called NFL games. Like, I don't know, the running back, what's his name?
Well, I mean, the anti-Romo.
Exactly.
That's why he didn't get the gig, though, I think, is because they wouldn't let him smoke in the booth. He's like, fuck it, I'll play football.
He had the gig. He was going to be on the Fox broadcast.
He was kidding.
And then the Dolphins called him up, and he said, "Oh, sure, yeah, I know Adam Gase.
They said, you can smoke on the sideline if you want." And he's like, "Fuck, I'm going to go do this instead.
I'll just smoke on the sideline in a helmet."
Yeah. Did you find it weird that like he didn't just go back to Fox when his career was done? That he just decided that he didn't want to do it at all.
I think Jay Cutler.
Sweet Bravo deal. That's why.
$9
an hour.
He was going through a weird thing with just his wife and their kids. And I think I don't want to get overly personal and slander the guy without understanding the whole situation, but just from a social media observational period, he just seemed like he kind of realized like, I'm rich. I don't need to do anything. I'm just going to hunt and like have a weird little farm. And eventually his weird anti-vaxxer wife was like, I'm fucking leaving and we're going to divorce. And he's like, okay. All right.
You don't want to live on Ranch Cutler?
I mean,
Hold on.
Yeah, Kristen Cavallari is a fucking nut job.
Kristen Cavallari of Laguna Beach, the real Orange County fame.
The real OC, so, I think you mean.
I've got to watch more television.
No, it was the real Orange County. Mike, trust me. We citizens of Orange County were aware of what was going on. So I have I've been provided the TLDR version of Jay Cutler reality show drama. He slid into the DMs of a C-list cast member on Bravo, and she leveraged whatever relationship they had, to make her co-star boyfriend jealous. So then that guy went out and hung out with Jay Cutler's ex-wife, Kristen Cavallari, and now it's a whole ridiculous thing.
Oh, my – I could not fucking care.
Why am I not watching this? This and sounds all far playing, more interesting.
And now it's all playing out over Instagram and, like, subtweets and, you know.
That's the thing. So if you go to Jay Cutler's Instagram, and he's not a social media person. At least he wasn't until recently. But he had, like – it was actually kind of charming because he had a farm and he had, like, cows. And he was like, what do you want to name my cow, Instagram? Name my cow. And You know, like, it was really kind of appealing because he was very – he's just a guy. You know, he wasn't trying to be like, I'm, you know, Tony Romo, and I'm just playing golf and being cool.
And I'm selling Skechers.
Right. It was Jay Cutler like, I'm drinking whiskey with this former tight end. I'm Zach Miller. We're hunting out in the woods. Here's this fucking deer I shot. Oh, by the way, I live in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, just like out the middle of ass in the woods, and you'll never find me. And I have a shrouded, cabin in the wilderness, and here with my animals and my guns.
I want to believe that every 25th Instagram picture is just like a shot of an ashtray. Like,
is he in Texas?
No, I think Nashville. Yeah, so you think Tennessee.
Nashville. Yeah.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah, when he was playing for the Bears.
He went to Vandy.
Yeah, see, that's where he's from. When he went to the Bears, he bought a house in like the middle of nowhere in Illinois. Some were really, 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 really far away. In just the middle of like a forest. And I think that was where he spent his playing days as a Bear. But he was always bound to go back to Tennessee. And I don't know why I know all this or care. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
He's the most interesting QB the Bears have had in 30 years.
He's really not even that interesting. You know, I mean, he's really not. And
yeah, I mean, but that's what makes him interesting, because it's just Jay Cutler like on a farm. It's like that's strangely
smoking a cigarette and throwing balls over the mountains.
Yeah, right. That seems strangely captivating.
Well, I think it's kind of the endearing thing is that a lot of quarterbacks I feel like are very much and they're being like groomed for marketing. Mm-hmm. And Jay, I think they tried with him for a while, and I just don't think
the problem was they didn't have the right product for him, like Marlboros. That would have been the deal, but like you can't advertise cigarettes anymore. So what are you going to do?
You know, he did have a nice guest run on the league there for a couple episodes, I think. Right?
Yeah. He was
pretty yes.
Cool. Yes.
You know, the one thing I will say complimentary about Jay Cutler was he had probably one of the strongest arms in NFL history. That guy could throw a fucking football, like, hard. Could he throw it to the right player? Well, I mean, that was, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, the details here. We're talking about
hard. Shit.
So, Andy, at this point, nothing's really changed in terms of, like, where the Bears are at, right? Like, are they just going to be stuck with Trubisky?
Trubisky has – it's been kind of a cold war between those two sides. Like, they've each kind of said, like, we're good, not – reunite.
Right, but the Bears have lost out on the first couple swings here of QB sweepstakes. So, are they just going to draft somebody and throw them to the fire?
I don't know. They're very close to the chest with all their stuff. I don't know. The Bears are the general manager's in a weird position. His original contract, the last one that was publicly announced, and the head coaches were supposed to expire next season, both together, but they won't stay. When asked when those contracts expire now. So they've been prompted, they've been asked, like, when does general manager Ryan Pace's contract end? Is it next year? And they'll say, we don't feel like that's important for you guys to know. So we don't know if he's a lame duck. For real. And it's the most asinine thing where, like, well, when is the coach's contract up? Like, why can't you just tell us? We're just trying to write, you know, get an idea.
It's not important.
Yeah, it's not your
business. Important information to know how long this person is going to be employed with the team.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, well, what's the point? It's very weird to the point to where I think a lot of people, especially the Chicago sports media, they're just rolling their eyes. Like, you guys just do whatever you want. You guys are dumbasses. Just fuck this up again. Nobody cares anymore. But at least there's the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks have been playing very well. It's been kind of the saving grace for me is enjoying a young, strange Blackhawks team. And what do you guys think, by the way, of the series hockey so far? Do you like the series hockey?
Yeah, I think we brought it up a time or two before, but I'm enjoying it. I think it's good because, like, hockey provides its best theater when you pit the same team against each other a couple times, you know?
Right.
Because then you can, like, if somebody did something shitty in the first game that you say, like, oh, we're going to get you back for it, you don't have to wait 3 months now. You wait until tomorrow and you just – and you take care of it. Like, it's kind of like what we see in baseball. Yeah. Where, you know, somebody stares down a homer in the first game, and then in the second game you get to hit him in the back.
Yeah, you get that receipt.
Now you get that in hockey.
So I want
to. I think too when you're trying to kind of force feed some rivalries, like they, you know, like they've done with, like, I don't know, like Pittsburgh, Columbus, or whatever, you know, where they're trying to create rivalries that maybe weren't there. The series thing will, I think, will help with that ultimately, and that can't be a bad thing. But I like it. It's like many playoff hockey, kind of, you know. It's mm-hmm. teams are bad. Yeah.
Because of the COVID postponements, the Blues and Coyotes played each other 7 games in a row.
Nice.
Because they were both scheduled to play the Wild and the Avalanche, and both of those teams had COVID for like 2 weeks. So they just said, hey, why don't you just play the rest of your games against each other right now? And
let's just bang these out while we're all here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the? I'm curious about the Jay Cutler made my husband drink comment. Is that like literally like he was there and made your husband take a drink? Or just from being
no,
shit?
That is actually a comment from my mother, Andy. Oh. And that's
my your mom's listening?
My stepdad is a Bears fan, and he has a sweatshirt that says Jay Cutler makes me drink.
Well, there you go.
Well, Lloyd's got to clean up our language right now because Zach's mom's listening.
They don't fucking care.
Oh, well, fuck that. All right.
Go to your room, young man. Think about I gotta ask.
Well, we probably don't know this for certain, but I'm pretty sure this is probably the first mom that's listened to our show. I think.
I know my dad has listened to a few minutes of at least one show, and I'm pretty sure he turned it on. He was like, you get on these podcasts and you say a bunch of dumbass stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it, Dad. And that's about all he does.
Right. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, most of my family members are like, most of my family members are saying, oh, did you record your blog tonight? And I say, yeah. Yeah, I did. Went up into the blog factory and pressed one out.
This is news to me, by the way. I'm just reading about this now. So that there is a new war that has been started in the world of food. Mm. And it is the chicken sandwich war.
Yes, oh, Taco Bell is entering the fray this week.
Right.
Are they trying to dethrone Popeyes?
They have it's a sandwich, chicken sandwich taco. It actually looks pretty fucking good. I'm not gonna lie.
It looks like a pretty thick tortilla with like a chicken tender in it. Covered in their Chipotle sauce that they
have. Let's have a look. Ooh, that does look pretty solid, doesn't it?
That's the spicy one because the jalapenos, obviously. But
I know things about Taco Bell, so I'm sorry, I can't eat there. It's not happening.
I can tell you one thing I know about Taco Bell for certain. Mm. Twice in my life, I've had food poisoning. Both times, it was after I ate Taco Bell.
Would not surprise me.
And that was like they were like 5 years apart. Completely separate Taco Bell. If it had been the same Taco Bell, I'm like, okay, my own fault. But they were 30 miles apart, and I just said, I've not eaten there since, and I won't go back.
No, I'm well aware that Taco Bell makes my digestive system react differently than other, even other Mexican places.
I think it tried to make me puke my digestive system out of my mouth is what it did to me.
Wow. So just if you want the best experience, if you go to Restaurant Business Online, there's an interactive timeline of the chicken sandwich wars. It began in August 2019 by Popeyes. So they started this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They
challenged Chick-fil-A for supremacy. So right. Chick-fil-A had the belt.
Again, like, this is making me hungry. Yeah, I don't care if it's like they take this awful, dead, awful chicken meat of taints and dicks and everything and mash it up. That I need to shit out of that sandwich. I don't care. But we got Fat Burger jumped in the fray. And there's so many of these. Good God. They just keep coming.
Yeah.
I guess what are the
Zaxby's new signature sandwich has been 30 years in the make. It took you 30 years to figure out a chicken sandwich?
Hey, you know what?
Isn't Zaxby's a chicken place?
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
30 years to think of a sandwich.
Hey, you think we should put some of this between some buns? I think that might be good.
Let's get some bread and put the chicken on the bread and see what happens. All right.
I noticed none of these chicken sandwich wars have invoked the KFC Double Down as an entry.
No, I
think, the KFC Double Down isn't a sandwich. The KFC Double Down is sadness.
It is a chicken sandwich, technically speaking.
It is. Yes. Oh, yes. It's replaced the bread with chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The double bacon in the middle. So what's a more disgusting concept? The double down or these burgers that use donuts for buns?
Having eaten a donut burger, it's an experience.
Is it good?
You take the bite and the first thing you taste is the sugary donut. And then you bite down a little bit further and you're like, oh, the salty meat and cheese. And then it all kind of mixes together and you're like, I don't know if this is the best choice. They're fine separately. Together.
I can't get with that.
Not everything is a peanut butter and chocolate situation.
Right.
On the surface, this would sort of gives me a chicken and waffles vibe. And chicken and waffles, I think, is wonderful.
That's great.
Oh yeah, those are good, but
this, this I feel like there'd be a similar thing where sweet and savory, but just to look at it,
it's the sugary component that really screws it up.
But it's almost
it's
like the Ian Malcolm, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Didn't stop talking about whether you should. I don't know if it's like tempting fate, you know. I've already got diabetes, guys. I don't need to have like triple diabetes to eat one of these fucking.
There was a place in Arizona, in Phoenix. I don't know if it's still open anymore, but it was called the Heart Attack Grill, and they had a burger that was called the Quadruple Bypass. And it's just like, that's definitely gonna make you think about.
No, I'm not eating that. This is.
do you have it?
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull it up here. No. This is irresponsible. He's there's too much meat on the screen. Maybe I don't know. But there it is. There's.
Oh my god! It looks like a quadruple bypass.
The amount of grease.
It's like a quadruple bacon cheeseburger.
That's not even a sandwich. You can't eat that like a sandwich. You have to like take it all apart, disassemble it, and eat it with a fork.
Yep.
Like
it looks. Exactly. I will tell you, I ordered it and I ate half of it. it's something, man. It's one of those things where I think we've talked about this before, like the extra food, you know, craze where it's just like how far do you go until it's too much?
Right.
That's certainly one of those. That's one of those that just like, now we're going to get on the Travel Channel and we're going to be part of, you know, Guy Fieri is going to stop by and be like, whoa, look at that thing.
Right. It's a goofy presentation type thing. So there's a restaurant in Champaign where I'm located that is called Fat Sandwich. And it's no bones about it. It has a lot of interesting sandwiches. There's one called the Fat Fuck. It's this cheesesteak. It's cheesesteak, chicken fingers, mozzarella sticks on all between buns. There's the Fat MILF, the Fat Mother Clucker.
Oh my god.
Like they have all sorts of crazy shit. Fat Idiot, Fat Magnum. But essentially what you can do is you just tell them what you want as a burger and they'll make it. So I've eaten it one time and I got it was like a burger patty, some mozzarella sticks, some chicken tenders, some and like a bunch of fries, and it was like $30, and I didn't eat it because I thought I was going to die after I got like two bites in. But yeah, so there's just like you said, Zach. There just comes a point to where you need people to these places need to just slow down and really just figure it out. Like, do we need
even In-N-Out has it right, and they even hit, because in the past. In-N-Out used to be able to get as many burgers and or as many patties and layers of cheese as you wanted on your burger. Like literally whatever you wanted to get. I was at an In-N-Out when somebody ordered a 26 by 26 instead of a double double. So 26 patties and 26 slices of cheese. And they were even like, you know what? This is getting out of hand. And it's kind of ruining our brand. So the most you can get in In-N-Out now is a 4x4, but there's still a classic. Like you look at their menu. It has the double double. It has a cheeseburger and it has a hamburger and then it has fries and that's all it's on the goddamn menu. That's it.
Yeah, but then there's that secret menu.
There's the secret menu for people that know it, but But when it, like if you just walk into an In-N-Out and you want to know what does this place do good, and it's like, well, they make burgers and fries, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I said Five Guys. I'm not a big Five Guys.
Overrated in my opinion.
Very much so.
It depends on what you compare it to. Like if you're comparing it to just a good local burger place that isn't a chain, no. But if you're comparing it to, say, McDonald's or Wendy's along those lines, sure. Then yeah, it's pretty good.
Here in Tampa, we have something called Shula Burger.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
Yeah, no, it is. So Don Shula had a steakhouse here in Tampa.
Right.
And, you know, the steakhouse is still there, but I guess they branded into like a gourmet burger place called Shula Burger. The burgers are – they're not bad, although honestly the biggest thing that they have going for them would be the – it's the sweet potato fried tater tots.
Those might be pretty good. No, I think that with Five Guys, they will never make a burger that's going to be any better than something I can fry up on my grill. Simple as that.
Five Guys is
it's all right.
It's overpriced. Two – I'm not a real fan of the whole, well, we're just going to throw extra fries in your bag. And it's like, no, man, now you're making this thing a mess.
Yeah, I don't need all that crap.
I don't want that.
So, no. By the way, at the Triple Bypass, at the Heart Attack Grill, if you're over 350 yes. pounds, you eat for free.
Yes, that's a real thing.
Uh-huh. What? Yeah. Yeah,
so let's just, and I love, like, some of these are interesting. Like, I'm looking at their menu here.
Not killing yourself fast enough. Let us help.
there's the Triple Bypass. There's an octuple. So basically, add as many patties as you want.
Yeah, no, you're at 300 pounds, and you go, I should really start losing weight, or I could gain 50 more pounds and eat for free.
I can eat here for free. I can have a lot more money.
Yeah, you can get wine in an IV bag on like one of those like stainless steel
yep.
three things.
No,
is this just hedonism? No. The restaurant.
No,
I think it's a Monty Python sketch, isn't it?
If you complete the quadruple bypass, or I think to eat it, they make you they allow you to wear a like a hospital gown so it can get all over you. And if you finish it, they will. And if you complete it, they will wheel you out in a wheelchair to your car.
Why is there a slab of butter in this? Or is that
why not?
It's
hard
to control, man.
It looks like somebody threw up on that, you know? I mean, that's...
Oh, my God!
Let's see. So anyway, here's the menu if you guys want to look over the menu here and appreciate it. But
you know what? I want to go into this place and, like, I'll have a house salad.
Yeah, right? Man, that is just gluttony. Yeah. Wow.
Coronary dog. Man, that chili, that leaves something to be desired. It looks like someone just dropped shit on that hot dog.
This is the same thing. It's like that's a literal shit sandwich there.
It's like a bald doctor squatted over that hot dog there. And just...
Andy, what's that up in the top right with the nurses and the doctor?
Well, that's beer. So blonde is a Hefeweizen. Dark is a stout. Red nurse is an Irish red ale.
And they have cigarettes on the menu?
Yeah, you can get no filter cigarettes for $8.30, $8.31.
Yep.
It's Nevada, so I assume you can smoke inside, you know.
Well, you know what? At least they're not trying to hide behind anything. They're just going, this is what
come on here and kill yourself.
eat a shit burger, then fire the lucky strike.
Down here, they say you can split a single, but they do not split or allow sharing of larger burgers. So basically, if you get a like quadruple bypass, you have to eat it by yourself.
Who's are they going to enforce? Like, do they have someone going around, like making sure, like, sir, you need to finish that yourself.
It says on the other side of the menu, Mike, is a picture of the police force that they employ to make sure that no one does that.
There's a nurse that will weigh you before ordering to see if you're over 350 pounds.
Oh my God!
And there's no takeout or to go. You got to eat it in there.
And yep, that's all. I have been here, and all of this is true.
That's a wow. sound. You know, have you guys ever been to, I can't remember what it's called, Dick's Last Resort is one of them. There's like places that make fun of you while you eat.
I've never been, but I've seen plenty of videos of people in them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have one.
Where you wear the hat with the name tag. And
Yeah. I've only been into it one time, and I was super tired, and they had a fucking band playing when I was there, and I was like, man, this is the most obnoxious sensory experience I can imagine. This and the actual is kind of interesting, because the waitress that was there, she could tell that I was like, can I fucking eat, please, and give me my food. But you know, but it was awkward because, like, you know, they're trying to make you laugh and trying to be, you know, like over the top, a little dirty and obscene at these places. But there's like kids in there and stuff, and it was kind of like, nah, dude, you can't be joking about this. You know, there's a little kids over there. Just, I don't know. It just kind of turned me off to the whole bit.
I thought the whole thing was ridiculous. It was like, okay. Well,
you know that's gimmick restaurants for you, though. I mean, like, you know, if you go somewhere and you're like, I want a good, like, there's a place that opened nearby us, and it really pissed me off. The food was mediocre, and they brought out the check, and the check was inside of a fucking cassette, like a plastic cassette container.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Just bring the goddamn thing on a tray and have my fucking name.
There's a place here. It's a Mexican restaurant. And they bring you the check in this little box that's got like Aztec carvings all over it. And you've got to and you open it up, and there's the check, and there's a check, and then there's like a mint inside too. And wow. It was the I don't know. It was just like, they're like, here you go, sir. And I'm like, what is this? Why? But yeah, but the strange thing about it, though, is that, like, I wouldn't even say it's a gimmick restaurant. Like, it's kind of just like a slightly upscaled Mexican joint, but they bring you your check in a little wooden Aztec box. So,
okay.
There you go.
Yeah, wow. I don't understand. All right. There's a whole like subreddit dedicated to food being served in annoying and weird ways called We Want Plates. And it's got some really, really good examples of like what has gone wrong here. And I'll feel free to share this with you here. So for example, this guy here, I guess it's got some fries and some chicken. They brought out in a fucking sink, you know,
what the fuck?
I don't, you know, they probably spent a lot of money to get these stupid little sinks.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay like, that's like a $9 meal, and you probably pay like $30 to have it brought out in a goddamn sink.
Well, they got to cover the sink cost.
I guess they got to recoup their
cost. I would be like, no, I don't know what's been in that sink. Is this where they put food on the table?
Yeah, I hate this shit. This weirds me out. The spaghetti being served off a fucking tablecloth.
Of all of the foods to serve off a tabletop, spaghetti's probably like the worst one.
There's a place in Key West that does something similar to that. It's a like a shrimp and I forget. But basically, you go to your table, they cover it with, you know, like a paper bag, essentially. And just dump all the food on the table, and you just go to town on it. And
there's a restaurant in a place called Brandon, which is where Vincent Jackson died, sadly. But there's a restaurant in that town. I'm surprised they haven't been sued into oblivion yet, because the whole premise is that they bring you your food on a scalding hot rock. Oh, yeah. So your food is like cooking on the hot rock plate as they bring it to you.
I've cooked a steak on a rock before, and it was, you know, it's like, I'd rather grill the steak and do it right. But
it's one of these cases where it's like, how has this not resulted in a lawsuit yet? Like,
I just want to eat. You know what? Just give me the Reddit thread. Give me my fucking food on a. What the hell is that?
It's a sandwich on a clipboard.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Clipboard.
That's just stupid. I'm sorry. It's just fucking stupid. There's nothing charming about that.
We got a dog bowl.
That's what he stole my cat's bowl.
It's a dog bowl with your grilled cheese and fries in it.
No.
To what end? Why?
Yeah. What's the point?
And this is a salad served in this weird tree thing. Like
every bit of this.
Here's your salad, sir. Enjoy the lettuce popsicle.
They give you like six.
What the fuck
chips.
Is that?
They give you like it's six like, chips shoved into a pine cone.
Is that and an egg?
The egg, like the chicken laid the egg right in the bowl for you, or what?
No, I don't know if that's. I think it's dip. I think it's like supposed to be like sour or French onion dip or something.
I served on a, like a bunch of grass.
Test tube soup. There you go.
No. This is fucked. What is this? Is crazy.
Shot glass tacos.
I did not know that. I did not know this kind of stupidity existed. Macaroni and cheese. And, okay, that's kind of funny, actually.
Not alone. Yeah. The Dino Nuggets. Yeah, that's good.
That's not.
That's good. Okay.
Glass, but that's not, that looks like something. That looks like something my friends and I would have done, like drunk off our asses.
Oh, no.
No.
That's just a party.
No community party drink.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
That's gross even when there's not a pandemic going on.
Yeah. So this is like one of those weird assembled desserts where it's like. They just pile the shit as high as they possibly can and expect you to figure out how to eat it before it melts.
This is nowhere near the same level as these things, but it's a thing that's stuck in my craw in recent weeks. I really hate the concept of an open-faced sandwich.
Because
if you take off a piece of the bread,
what's that like shit on a slate there? What is that?
It's a cold rock. Go ahead, Zach.
There's at that point, it's no longer a sandwich.
It's just food on bread.
Yeah. That's not a sandwich. And if I want a sandwich, I'm not going to pick one that I have to eat with a fork and knife. I'm going to put it that I can grab into my hands.
This is okay.
Greg is having an I don't want.
If you're watching us on YouTube, you're seeing a cavalcade of
So
absurdity.
So this is one of these awful Bloody Mary things where they just like go fucking ape shit with the. It's like there's a drink in this jar somewhere, and the rest
it's got like Cheerios and Oreos on it, and yeah,
Fruit Loops, and probably I don't know. It's just too much.
My god!
I don't even know what this is. It's a root beer float or something. I don't know. But yeah, there's a wooden lunchbox. This is what the fuck is this? It's some sort of you got to drink it upside down. I don't know. There's
if you got to put the glass upside down, and I got to sip with a straw off a fucking plate. I'm not even interested. Sorry.
So this is interesting. So this canister, people who've been in the hospital know what this canister is for. This is pissiness. So
why did they put gravy in it?
I don't know.
Probably cheaper to buy than gravy boats.
I guess.
Yeah, you know what? I don't care if that they could show me. They could show me Brian that fucking thing brand new, and a
vice there.
A vice? Yeah. That's not a bad idea for a big turkey leg, really. What is that?
Like a T-bone steak? They got. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of like absurdities, here as we're winding the program down. So when are we starting GTOV stuff? When does the actual? Do we correlate it with March Madness, or what are we doing here this year?
Yeah, I think so. But speaking of that, I've got to give mad props to. Longtime listener Cosmic for the list he compiled of the entries that we had forgotten about. And as a special treat, because Alt-Right Andy came back up, I happen to have a clip if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, sure.
Of Alt-Right Andy. So let's do that here. Let me get it set up.
And you say this guy sounds like me, right? Is that what you're saying?
You just listen. You'll see. Okay. Right. Here we go. All right. I'm going to fire him up here. Here we go. This is Alt-Right Andy, folks.
Can't hear anything.
Yeah, can't hear anything.
What?
I had
the audio shared. Hold on a second here. Let me try it again. We got to go back a little because the best part is what he says at the beginning. But give me a second here. Let me try that one more time. Oh shit! I just lost it. Hold on a second. History
couldn't be basically a short show without some audio technical difficulties.
Yeah. Oh, here he comes. Hold on.
Yeah. Shut up.
All right, here we go. Let's try this one more time.
Sure.
Back to share screen. Ta-da. Share screen. Chrome tab. Share audio. And share. Let's see. Can you hear it this time?
Yes. Amazing. Yes. Especially for a brand new show. So clearly, there's a demand for this kind of content, and I have to thank everyone for making the show a huge success already.
It really does.
Just a reminder, there are multiple ways to consume this show. Everything is mirrored to my channel on BitChute. You can also now listen to the show on Spotify if that's your thing. Or you can always listen to it directly from my website at neonrevolt.com. Pending the big update to Gab, I should also be able to upload the show there as well.
Can we
so
just take a moment to look at the I don't think we want to listen to this whole thing, but like again, just the poetry that is this episode title that they've shown us.
Boy, I can't
Rex,
see what is it?
Rex Chaz and the Fall of the Soy Caliphate of Antifa-stan.
I didn't even catch that. Wow, that's good.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah. Folks, that is Alt-Right Andy there, which I don't know how I even stumbled onto that. I think somebody on Facebook posted a link to it, and you know me, I'm stupid, and I'm like, well, let's see what this is. And I heard it, I'm like, oh my God.
We've got to talk about the snow. The snow isn't real. The snow is put there by Bill Gates. We all know. If you want to follow my channel on Gab, I'll be there slashing my thighs and hoping that you'll tune in and watch my Twitch stream as I masturbate for various animations of mascots having sex with one another. By the way, before we go, I didn't even realize this. So Washington is going to be the football team for another year. They've announced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, so anyway, really?
Yeah.
Well, is it two things before we go? Because I wanted to get to when we were talking to the NHL, but then we veered off. I mean, we talked about it on text all weekend, but just for posterity's sake, do these Tahoe games every year, man.
Oh, man. They look like something out of Life magazine, some of those pictures. I mean,
literally, it was so perfect that the weather was bad.
Well, no, I was going to say that, though. Do we really want it every year? Because games got called on account of sun.
Right. Well, and I know that's what it's just. It's only in the goddamn NHL can you have perfect weather and that be terrible for your.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I wouldn't. Like, I kind of thought about this, and maybe it dilutes it. But I had the idea of like every year, maybe not just at Tahoe, but like you can do it at Lake Louise that people keep trying to bring up for Canadian version. But over the course of like a month, just have the rinks set up there. And over the course of a month or 2 months or however long you could viably do it, get each team up there one time at least to like have the experience of playing on a true pond game like that. Because that's different than playing in the Stadium Series or even a Winter Classic. Like that was as pure version of the sport as you'll ever get at the pro level. Like that was
the thing I would say that ties into the weather is that they need to start the games earlier. Like you probably shouldn't be having these games past January if you want to take weather, if you want to ensure perfect weather.
Well, the temperature wasn't even the problem. Like on Saturday it was 27 degrees, but the sunlight was perfect. And I don't know why they didn't think of this, but the only places that there was like the sludgy parts happening on the ice where the logos were, aka the dark spots that are going to absorb the sunlight.
Right.
But when they resumed at midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. local time, there was no problems. There was no problem in the Bruins Flyers game the next day. It was good.
It looked really cool.
Look at these images. Cool. I got a couple of pictures here pulled up. I mean, it's incredible scenery. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, you're not going to see pictures like this.
Yeah.
See, there's one up here. Just like pretty awesome. Like this. There's something about playing under natural light that is just amazing, you know. And I mean, we take it for granted with like baseball, but I mean, hockey is just, it deserves better than being under the cold lights of.
We don't normally see NHL hockey in natural light. It's just you don't see it ever. You know,
it's too hard
because even with like most of the Winter Classics, it's always like cold and cloudy. So a sunny day is a rare thing that time of year. And yeah. But one of the pictures you guys sent in the text was like, this looks like something out of like National Geographic or Life or something, where they go, this is like, you know, these are what the natives of this area do. And it was like this perfect photograph with like just vibrant color and just this composition. It was just amazing. I thought they should make a poster out of that, but it looked really cool.
Yeah. That was awesome. Then the last thing that happened today, as Andy posted about on the boards, the end of Daft Punk as an official thing.
Until the reunion tour.
Eh,
I've been down this road before with a lot of bands, believe me.
They've been together, what did the video say, Eddie, since 93?
93, I think is what they said. Yeah. But they've four albums. They haven't had an album come out in like 8 years. And their last album was kick-ass, I will say. But yeah. Like Random Access Memories is one of my favorite albums ever. Like that album kicks ass.
It's one of the few things that I will listen front to back in my catalog.
It kind of has to be, in my opinion. Like it's a summer album.
And they were the only good thing about Tron Legacy. So,
but yeah, they're
can't say I'm a much. I'm not very, very familiar with their stuff. I mean, I've got an idea of what they do and all that, but I'm little past my time.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, but they're a big iconic thing. I think a lot of people were expecting one final go from them at least, and they just kind of called it a day and they did it on their own terms. Or one of them exploded, and it was. It was interesting, so good for them. Hopefully,
the thing with Daft Punk that I always like to put on, I think it was a Coachella show. I forget when it was, but it was. I don't know. You've probably seen the video of them like doing their whole thing inside that pyramid that they, press their buttons in.
I've actually seen that.
It was like a 4-hour show of them just like doing Daft Punk stuff, like in. And I just love throwing that on sometimes to just have it on the background and kind of look up and just see some cool visuals with some just – they were never – when it came to, like, the dance, pop, electro scene, like, they weren't like the trashy European club techno that got popular in the 90s. They also never really became, the dubstep of like, the your raves and your carnivals and whatever. They were just clean, like as clean and pure electronic music. And like some of the things they did, like, yes, it's electronic music. So they sampled a lot and they didn't necessarily play their own instruments, but like there was a video that was going around today of them taking a sample of a song from like 1976. And it's just like the opening horns of this song. And if you're listening to the song, like you recognize a note, but it doesn't sound the same at all as it does when they chop the pieces up and slow it down and then rearrange them to be the beat for One More Time. And it's kind of incredible the sounds they were able to produce and the melodies they were able to make, just with the advent of the computer, as a musical, instrument, if you will. So,
yeah.
I mean, say what you will, like they're the godfathers of any sort of electronic music that, very special, very special pair of robots in their helmets.
I dug the helmets. I thought that was cool, but that's about all I know about them.
Appropriately enough, Zach, your internet made you a robot for the last like 30 seconds. Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it was perfect.
Beautiful. I was paying tribute. paying tribute.
So what's the, are we scheduling something for our tournament, boys? Are we, got an idea?
Well, yeah, we could do a live selection here.
When's actual selection Sunday? Cause if there is one thing that I have not been paying attention to, it's.
That is going to be on March 14th.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I would like to get back to Ohio before
when are you
by the way, right around like a few days before that, so that should be fine. For the listeners, I'm going to sound weird for the next couple of weeks because I'm on a headset that is really not made for this. So,
actual March Madness selection Sunday is the 14th.
Right.
All right. Should we do our own live version that day, or that Monday? We can do it Monday.
They just leave it Monday. They will. We can do our selection that day. We can discuss the ins and outs of it later. But as far as like if we're randomizing each of our own things or how you want to seed it or if we're even doing seedings, that kind of stuff. So.
And it's 8 each, right?
8 East.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
64 just takes too long, and there's too much cannon fodder. Yeah. But
with A to P, sort of have some elite matchups, and it goes by a lot quicker. So.
Yeah, and I just, again, to Cosmic, I thank you so much for keeping track of all the stuff we brought up. I didn't remember 90% of these.
Yeah, Cosmic did a service for me, because I know that I'm very prone to forgetting these things and not writing them down.
Like my hate watch of Homeland is a good one. The XFL champion broke ass Walmart Oilers is a good one. Houston.
They can't be the broke ass Oilers anymore. The NFL sued them.
Yeah, well, perfect. Human Pups. But I was going to ask you guys, I don't remember some of these. Human Pups, where did that come from? Does anybody remember?
That was mine.
These are all from the show.
Was Human Pups the whole, like, furry shit?
Yeah, oh. Human Pups, in a nutshell, is people who take the, like, they want to be dogs.
Oh, yes, I do remember.
That's right. Yeah.
It's really, really uncomfortable to look at.
I've actually, not to spoil anything, but I've got sort of a spiritual sequel to that for this one. So we'll,
Oh, all right.
Well, we can all look forward to that weirdness.
where did Rhesus Monkey and an Iron Lung come from?
Who did Rhesus Monkey and Iron Lung?
I don't know, but it's fucking awesome, whatever it is.
So just a recent
Costco Ranger Stadium. Huh?
Check my screen share. This is just to refamiliarize yourself with what exactly a human pup might look like out in the wild. Should you be
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see, I would rather have a furry than that in my life.
That's just fucked up.
So there's
of course,
the leather Davis. Dalmatian suit is not.
Where do you buy a leather Dalmatian suit?
Special made.
I don't even want to know.
The internet.
Somebody's got to get. I figured 12-foot Davis was already in somebody's bracket. He's not in mine.
I don't know. I think Mike might have. Mike, did you claim 12-foot Davis?
I'm the Canadian here, so yes.
All right. Rob Manfred, the pet lizard. I don't remember where that came from. Estonian wife carrying. I remember that. I remember what show it was. But I remember us talking about it.
No, that was I remember. So Estonian wife carrying that's like a national sport of that whatever country. I can't remember the it's the national sport.
Africa's country?
Estonia.
It's in the Balkans, yeah.
President Babagun, of course.
President Babagun is in my bracket. Do not touch him. President Babagun.
Okay. Butter Gritty. I remember that one.
I think Zach and Butter Gritty.
Creamsicle NWO Mike, which is all right. This one I saw. I'm like, okay, he must have made this one up because I do not remember 12 tons of Canadian beaver penis.
What?
Right? It's like my personal favorite dystopian future ape history teacher that Andy claimed.
Yes. I don't remember the exact. Where's my list? That's the things. I got to review these with the thread to make sure that I'm getting these right.
Because that was. I remember talking about it. I remember what the context was. And Jattern, which was, I guess, a compilation of Saturn and Jupiter when we were bitching about the listeners.
Well, no, Jattern is the planet where all the Trump votes were sent to.
That's right.
Oh, is that what it was?
The election. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We already threw in alt-right, Andy. Recipe for Seduction, Colonel Sanders, which is a great one. Fifi the Flossing Sloth.
I want to ask alt-right Andy if he thinks the Glorious Front of Victory is a Jewish conspiracy.
It's actually
I'm sure he does.
It is completely a conspiracy. It's actually put together by Hillary Clinton. If you had access to Hillary Clinton's emails, you would absolutely know that it was the CTOB. Was put together as an appeasement to Antifa back in 2001. just after the 9/11 inside job, yeah.
Right, exactly. Skelecaster, that's a pretty recent one. I remember that. That was a picture that somebody tweeted, I think. It was a guy that made a guitar out of his father's skeleton.
Yeah, that was me. It was like his uncle's rib cage and spine he turned into a guitar.
Yeah.
That seems weird.
I just want to, again, the stuff that fascinates me about this is when he woke up one day and said, you know what? I can make a guitar out of that. It's like, who thinks like that? But here we are.
Maybe it was in his uncle's will. Like, it's like, maybe he knew his nephew, you know, made tars and is like, when I die, I want you to take my spine and my rib cage and you're putting it in a guitar.
All right. Reggie White's Asian TV watch. That's
I've got
yours,
that
Mike.
One. Yeah, I got that one. Yeah.
Great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Strawberry Addle Tom Brady. Those are all from the show. Which,
Strawberry Addle to Tom Brady.
Just to remind you, Zach's mom, listen to this. This is what we do. This is
Hi, Zach's mom.
perfectly basically a sports show,
I think she hung up. She thought she embarrassed me. It's fine. I told her it's fine.
Cosmic added three of his own. Seattle Dragons, Eternal Flame. That's a good one. Monkey Slave Labor Coconut Milk. I like that. There's a link to it. Let me see. I'll try to share
Monkey Slave Labor Coconut.
Here we go. I'm going to share this because you got to see it. Hold on a minute.
This is real. Oh.
Yeah, it's real. Hold on a second. I'll show you. There we go. And share. Can you see it?
Forced monkey labor claims prompt you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
So, so this Thai coconut milk company is enslaving monkeys?
Oh my God! Yeah. It's the bigamous baboon or whatever he was called from the.
it was one of those things where the headline, depending on how you read the headline, sounds much worse than. It's not that one. There was another headline that was like, "Forced monkey milk labor." It's just like. What?
Anyway, that's classic GTOV material right there. And let me see the last one.
You know, I want to know the business genius who was like, you know. We could just get a bunch of monkeys.
Oh, redacted pizza toppings. Here we go. This is redacted pizza toppings. No, that's not it. Hold on a minute. Fuck.
So it's they,
anyway. So, so yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So the monkeys, I guess, are trained in monkey school to climb trees and pick coconuts.
Okay.
And when they're not working, they're chained and transported in cages that are very small, and many of them are likely illegally captured and distressed. So.
Oh, that's kind of shitty, but it is
a bummer. On the surface, it's funny because it's a monkey doing a human job or something in their slaves. But in the nitty-gritty, it's depressing as hell. So.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, so we will do the selection show on, I guess it'll be the 15th of March then, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right, so we'll do that. And, of course, I think it's the 9th Glorious Tournament of Victory, believe it or not.
Coming up on the X, the big X.
Yeah.
Are we still holding it from Biosphere 1 or 2? Oh, no.
We're still talking about that. We got to figure that out because do we start letting fans in or not? We'll work on that next week.
If we hold it in Florida, we can definitely let fans in.
All right. Well, I will find the most ridiculous Florida name or a name for a town in Florida, and we'll go with that.
I thought we already decided where it was going to be this year. I created an audio thing for this.
Oh, that's right. You did. You're right. Exactly. So never mind. We do have a site for the Glory Tournament Victory this year. Yeah. So
okay. So we can't hold it in Brooksville, Florida, at the General Cornhole Memorial Arena.
This is only for 2021. So who knows? But for the 10th annual, we can really make it something special. So.
I'll close out the show with this, Mike. I walked up there and got close to that stuff. It was weird to be standing by the hanging tree and then walking up to the statue. It's not General Cornpone. It's a literal statue tribute to the Confederacy, the whole thing, not just one guy, but all of it, by the Daughters of the Confederacy, erected in 1916.
Are there any were there any, redneck yokel locals just, like, watching you as you went up, like, that Yankee boy's taking a look at our statue?
No, but I felt like that. I mean, maybe, but it was uncomfortable. I've got to be honest about it. It was, I mean, I'm not one for, like, the ghosts and shit like that, but I'm like, I'm standing where they lynched people. And that just, it was like, yeah, you know what? I got to get out of here. But I took the pictures and I left, and it was just spooky. It was weird, to be standing literally under a tree where somebody could have been hanging over my head. I don't know, 40 years ago. Well, no, it'd be longer than that. But
I'm not laughing at the Confederacy. I'm sorry.
You got to share. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at this thing that Sodboy retweeted. It's a Daily Mail UK tweet. The title is, "Restaurants are safe. We must let them reopen." Writes, the author's name is Ranald McDonald. This guy retweeted, he said, "Restaurants are safe. We must not let them lock the doors," writes Hom Burglar. Anyway, the Confederacy's bad. So that's
all right. On that note, folks, we're going to call it a night. We'll see you next week. Subscribe via Twitter at Basically Sports. Catch the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasting is sold, and all that other good stuff that we're supposed to say at the end of the show. And with that, we will see you all next week.